this evening to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Book of Matthew, chapter 6. We'd like to read verses 19 through verse 34. Jesus, of course, is doing the speaking. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles or the heathen seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." In these verses, Christ deals with a challenge or a problem that confronts us all, and that problem is worldliness. These verses that we just read basically consist of two sections dealing with two different aspects of the problem of worldliness. In verses 19 through 24, the Lord emphasizes that we're not to lay up treasures upon earth. That is a form of worldliness, to lay up treasures upon earth, to hoard them up and to basically live to do that. That's your purpose in life. And then beginning with verse 25, he's not so much concerned with laying up treasures in heaven, but us worrying about them, being anxious concerning worldly things. So these two things, laying up treasures in heaven and just worrying about worldly things, they are different, and yet they are the same. They are the same in the fact that they both constitute worldliness. They are different in their aspects. It's two different aspects of the same problem, two different aspects of the problem of worldliness. There may be many tonight who are not guilty of laying up treasures upon earth. That is, that's not what they live for. But that same group of people may be guilty of the other part. That is, constantly worrying about worldly things and about worldly means and being anxious about them and continually dwelling upon them. So what we have in these two sections of these verses is one sin of worldliness, in two forms. But if you think about it, doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter very much to Satan what form the sin takes as long as he succeeds. Satan, it doesn't matter. If you lay up treasures in heaven, he's fine with that. And if you don't lay up treasures in heaven, but you're constantly worrying and constantly anxious about worldly things, doesn't matter to him. He's got you either way. So it's one sin, two aspects of it. So regardless of the form of the sin of worldliness, the Lord here deals with the root problem. And the root problem is the same, regardless. Whether one lays up treasures upon earth, or whether one has their heart focused upon worldly things, and that's all they think about, and that's all they worry about. Again, the devil is happy either way. But either way, the root problem is the same thing. And I believe the Lord deals with that in these verses. In verses 19 through 24, when he's talking about laying up treasures upon the earth, he goes on in verse 27 and he says that our eye needs to be single. The problem there is they're not focused on the right thing. And then coming down to verses 25 through verse 34, the problem with worrying, the problem with always being anxious is summed up there in verse 30, oh, you have little faith, which is the same thing that he's saying in verses 19 through 24, where he says, no man can serve two masters. The problem, the root problem, is, oh, ye of little faith. And that's what we want to speak upon this night, the problem of little faith. And it is a problem. It's a sin. Unbelief is a sin. Little faith is a sin. The Lord never commends little faith. He always rebukes little faith. When we're talking about little faith, we're not talking about lost people. Lost people have no faith. We're talking about saved people. Saved people have little faith. So the ultimate cause of the problem of worldliness, whatever aspect it may take, was a lack of faith. So we want to first of all consider tonight the importance of faith in the Christian life. The Bible emphasizes over and over that faith is of the utmost importance. All through Scriptures, we are exhorted to live by faith, to walk by faith. So what is faith? What is faith? Contrary to what many seem to think, faith is not blindness. It's not being blind to our circumstances. It's not ignorance. It's not being ignorant concerning what's going around us, going on around us. It's not foolishness, as many think. But one thing about faith is it is never contrary to what God is. It is never contrary to what God has said. Faith is to be persuaded. It is to be persuaded that God is. It is to be persuaded about everything that God says. It is to have conviction about these things. Faith is confidence in God. Again, the most confident people in the world ought to be God's people. Not self-confidence, but confidence in the Lord. Faith is dependence. Faith is reliance upon God. Faith is unreserved trust in the Lord. Faith is leaning upon God. Faith is resting upon God. Faith is cleaving, holding unto the Lord. Faith is looking to God, not only looking to God, but actually seeing God. Faith is what causes us to come to God. Faith is what causes us to draw near to God. Faith is what will cause you to flee to God. It's not your trouble that causes you to flee to God. It's faith that causes you to flee to the Lord. It's faith that causes us to cast ourselves upon the Lord. Faith is basically living in the reality of God. And when you think about it, living in the reality of God, then many are guilty of very little faith. I mean living day by day in the reality of God. It is one thing to say that, yes, I believe God. I believe God as He's presented in the Scripture. It's quite another to live in the reality of that. And that's faith. Faith lives in the reality of God. Faith is embracing God. Faith embraces the things of God. Faith is in agreement with God. Faith is never in disagreement with God. It's always in agreement with the Lord. Faith is believing. Faith not only is believing, faith is acting upon what is believed. And that's why James talks about faith without works is dead. You can believe many things, but you have to act upon what you believe. That's faith. So faith is believing and acting upon the omnipotence of God. We all would claim tonight to believe the omnipotence of God, and that's one form of faith, but going further, faith acts upon what we believe about the omnipotence of God. Faith is believing and acting upon the omnipresence of God. It's believing and acting upon the omniscience of God and the sovereignty of God and the love of God and the truthfulness of God and the faithfulness of God. It's believing and acting upon the promises of the Lord. So faith is believing and acting upon what we believe. But also faith is continual. It's something that just always is. It's something that continues on. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 22, Jesus said, "Have faith in God." And that's present tense. That is continuous action. That is always at all times. Have faith in God. Always, at all times, believe and act upon what you believe concerning the Lord. The best advice, again, Jesus said it, have faith in God. You can't improve upon that. Have faith in God. There's never a time when that is not so. There's never a time when that's not good advice. Have faith in God. When you get up in the morning, have faith in God. When you walk through the day, have faith in God. When you are strong, have faith in God. When you are weak, have faith in God. When you're happy, when you're sad, have faith in God. Again, there's never a time when we're not to have faith in God. In times of rest, have faith in God. In times of difficulty, have faith in God. In times of health, in times of sickness, have faith in God. So this is a continuous thing. In times of abundance, in times of poverty, have faith in God. When you know which way you're going to go and you can see your way out, and when you can't see your way out, have faith in God. So you see, faith is not just a seasonal thing. Faith isn't just for when we're having problems. Faith isn't just for when we're having trials and difficulties. Faith is for all the time. Have faith in God. If you have faith in God in the good times, you'll have faith in God in the bad times, and vice versa. It's a continuous thing. Have faith in God, no matter what position you're called to fill. Have faith in God, no matter how great the obstacle. Have faith in God. And this is what Job was talking about. In Job 13 and verse 15, he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." That is, Job is saying, no matter what happens, I'm going to trust God. No matter what happens, I'm going to act upon what I believe concerning the Lord. He's saying, even though all this is happening to me, even though my life is seemingly coming apart at the seams, I am going to trust Him. That's faith. That's faith in God. He's saying, no matter what I suffer, I'm going to trust the Lord. No matter what happens, God is my refuge. God is my strength. No matter what the end is going to be, I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to have complete confidence in Him. I'm going to have complete dependence. I'm going to have complete reliance upon Him. I'm going to lean upon Him. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to act upon what I believe concerning Him. I'm going to look to Him. I'm going to come to Him. I'm going to flee to Him. This is what Job is saying. No matter what happens, I'm going to trust God. That's faith. And that is the faith that the Bible teaches, and that is the faith that we all need. And this faith is vitally essential to living the Christian life. In fact, faith is the secret of living a fruitful and productive life for the Lord. If you're not fruitful, if you're not productive spiritually, you can blame it on innumerable things. But really, it comes down to, O ye of little faith. That's what it comes down to. You can blame your husband, you can blame your wife, you can blame the children, you can blame your job, you can blame society, yeah, you can blame anything. But that's not the reason. That's not the reason that folks are not spiritually fruitful and spiritually productive. The problem is little faith. Little faith. The quality of our spiritual life depends upon our degree of faith. And if we examine our lives, our degree of living for the Lord coincides with our degree of faith. Our degree of serving the Lord depends upon our degree of faith. Our obedience to the Lord depends upon our measure of faith. How far we're going to follow the Lord depends upon our measure of faith. Our enjoyment of the Lord depends upon our measure of faith. Our peace, our assurance, our strength depends upon our measure of faith. Our ability to endure depends upon our measure of faith. You see, faith will keep you close to God. Faith will keep your heart tender toward God. If you're not close to God, it goes back to, O ye of little faith. If your heart is not tender toward God, it goes back to, O ye of little faith. Faith will keep your mind upon God. Faith will keep you focused upon God. Faith will keep your feet following God. No matter what's happening, faith just keeps on following God. Our degree of strength, our degree of comfort depends greatly upon our faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6, we read, for without faith it's impossible to please Him. Without faith, the Christian life is a nonentity. It doesn't exist. You can't live for the Lord without faith. So he presents two problems here. One is laying up for yourselves treasures upon earth. The other is being anxious about worldly needs. But the root problem is, O ye of little faith. So what is the problem of little faith? First of all, we need to define what is little faith. O ye of little faith. This is the root problem. As we've said many, many, many times, the reason people do not improve in their life is because they just absolutely refuse to deal with root problems. We would rather deal with the symptoms rather than getting down to the root problem. But again, we've preached that before, and it's another message. But you think about Peter. When he began to sink upon the stormy waters, Jesus said to him in Matthew 14 and verse 31, "O ye of little faith." Why did Peter sink? You say because of the waves, because of the wind. No, that's not why he sank. He walked. Those waves were still just as high when he walked on the water. The wind was still blowing when he walked on the water. Why did he sink? Because he had little faith. It took great faith to step out of that boat. No doubt about that. But somewhere along the line, great faith turned into little faith. And that was the cause of Peter sinking. And that is the cause of many sinking today. Little faith. So what does the Lord mean by little faith? What is the connotation of little faith? Well, it's not the same thing as no faith. He's dealing here with God's people. Little faith is not the absence of faith. All children of God have faith. They have to have faith in order to be saved. We all possess saving faith. But let's be honest, sometimes saving faith never gets beyond that. And that's little faith. That's little faith. So, he's not talking about no faith. Everybody here that's saved has some faith. The question is, what is the degree of our faith? So, he's not talking about the absence of faith, but he's talking about the inadequacy of faith. Little faith is inadequate. Little faith is not sufficient. It is not a sufficient faith. Little faith is faith that is undersized. It's not big enough. It's not big enough to get you through the daily happenings of life. It is faith that is inconsequent. It's of no consequence. It just doesn't make much difference in our lives. It's faith that is minimal. It's lacking. And it's very, very limited. So we need to ask ourselves, how significant, how consequential is faith in my life? In my everyday life, how significant is faith? How much of a role does faith play? When problems occur, how significant is my faith? How consequential is my faith? So little faith is the problem. So, what is wrong with little faith? Obviously, there's a problem with little faith because the Lord condemns it. The Lord rebukes it. Well, first of all, little faith is confined. It's confined. Again, we're not dealing with no faith, but little faith. Little faith, in general, is confined to one or certain aspects of our life. It's very limited. Very, very limited. Again, many who are saved, they believe on the Lord for the salvation of their souls, but they do not believe Him when He says, "I will supply all your need." They trusted Him with their soul, and they believe that they're saved. You can't convince them that they're not. They have faith. They have saving faith. They put their faith in Jesus Christ. But they do not believe the promises of God for everyday life. That's little faith. Their faith has never developed past saving faith. And you cannot read the Bible without seeing that faith is to extend to the whole of our life. It's to cover all of our life. It's not just to cover the moment that we received Christ as Savior. It's to cover all of our life. And if it doesn't, then it's confined. If it doesn't, then it is little faith. But you see, little faith lays hold of certain promises of God. We've all seen individuals, and perhaps we've all been guilty to some degree. We have faith that the Lord will take care of brother so-and-so. We have faith that the Lord will take care of sister so-and-so. And we pray and we believe God is going to take care of this situation. But then a trouble comes into our life and we can't handle it. That's a little faith. You see, it's only good for certain aspects. It may be good for trusting for someone else. But what good does that do you when the problem comes to you? When the difficulty comes to you? We've all known individuals who have preached wonderful sermons when to an individual who's suffering affliction, to an individual who has need, and perhaps has been an encouragement to that person. But as soon as they have a problem, the whole world falls apart because they have little faith. Their faith is confined to certain areas. Some have faith concerning health, but then if they find out tomorrow that they've lost their job, faith is gone. I mean, it just doesn't exist. There's nothing worse that can happen. That's little faith. Little faith confines itself to just certain areas. It picks and chooses the promises of God. And it only applies to certain circumstances. It's little faith that caused the children of Israel to ask in a doubting way, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? It's little faith. So little faith confines itself. It does not really take Scripture as it is and believes it, but it limits Scripture. So that's a problem. Another problem with little faith is when you have little faith, you are mastered and you are controlled by your circumstances. Again, we can all experience circumstances that we would not choose. We can experience what you and I would consider to be bad circumstances. To experience these things and to be mastered by them is two entirely different things. You cannot go through life without experiencing adverse circumstances. But I believe that a child of God can go through life without ever being controlled by their circumstances. But that takes faith. That's where faith comes in. So, I mean, if you read these verses that we read for our text, the picture that is being drawn is a people that is being, who are being governed by life. I mean, if an individual lives to lay up treasures upon earth, they are being governed by material possessions. If another individual lays up all night and worries about how they're going to pay this and how they're going to pay that and worries about food and raiment and other things, are not they being mastered by these things? Certainly they are. These things are controlling their lives. Either way, the individual becomes a victim of worldliness. And the reason people become victims of worldliness is because, oh, you have little faith. That's what it gets down to. So things happen, and we are mastered by them. We like to think that the problem is what happened. No, that's not the problem. The problem is not what happened. The problem is how we reacted to what happened. The problem is that our faith was not big enough. The problem is little faith. So being mastered and controlled and governed by circumstances happens to the child of God when there is little faith. Little faith. And again, we are all controlled to some degree by things that happen. But when you allow somebody says something and you allow that to control your whole week, oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. When something happens and you allow it to control your month, your year, your life, the problem's not with what happened, because the same thing has happened to other people and they got through it. The problem is faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Little faith is a real problem. It is a real problem in our lives, because the Word of God teaches very plainly that the child of God is to rise above. We are to rise above our circumstances. We are to rise above our difficulties. We are to rise above our inconveniences. We're to rise above our trials. We're to rise above all the impossibilities. How do we do that? Faith. It's the only way you can do it. Faith. But little faith is a problem. Another thing that's wrong with little faith is little faith does not focus upon the things of God. The reason that an individual of little faith is mastered by circumstances is because that's what they focus on. You focus on your circumstances and they will master you. You focus upon your circumstances and they will control you. You focus upon how somebody mistreated you and did not say the right thing to you. You focus on that and it'll control your life. It'll govern your day. It'll ruin you. And you will not be spiritually productive. It takes faith. It takes faith to rise above. So great faith is focused on God. Great faith sees the problem, but it looks beyond the problem and sees God. Someone mistreats us when we're aware of that, but we look beyond it and see God, and we just believe God's going to take care of it. And we're not mastered by that thing. That's faith. But little faith focuses upon earthly treasures. Little faith focuses upon food, drink, and raiment. And it focuses upon those things. Again, there's nothing wrong tonight with being aware of the economy. There's nothing wrong with that. Certainly we ought to be concerned. But if you let that consume your life, you've got a problem. If you let that control your thinking and control everything you do, you've got a problem. And your problem's not the economy. Your problem is a little faith. Little faith. We need, in the days in which we live, we need great faith. Little faith is not going to do. We need great faith. We need a faith that is going to matter. So little faith focuses on the wrong things. Little faith causes our thoughts to be misdirected. And again, this is what Jesus is saying here in these verses in Matthew chapter 6. The problem was these folks, their thinking was misdirected toward earthly things. And the result of the reason was, is because, O ye of little faith. Little faith also fails to take the words of God at face value and simply to believe what God says. People will say all the time, yes, I know what it says, but. What they're saying is, I am not going to take that at face value. You see, there's an exception. That's little faith. Little faith just takes the words of God at face value. It takes them just as they're written. So I must, under all circumstances, under all situations, go to the Word of God. Take the statements that we read in the Word of God exactly as they are. With no buts, ands, ifs, none of that. Just take it exactly as it is and believe it. That's faith. But little faith doesn't have the ability to do that. Little faith says, yes, I believe God can provide my needs, but I don't believe He will. That's a little faith. That's a little faith. Little faith believes, yes, God is able, but my problem's really big. That's little faith. Just take the Word of God at face value. Little faith causes us all kinds of problems. Little faith is a failure to apply what we know and what we claim to know. If we do not apply to our life what we know, that's a little faith. I believe with all of my heart, there is not a doubt in my mind that God is sovereign and that God can do whatever He pleases, and God will do whatever He pleases. I have no doubt in my mind concerning the sovereignty of God. But if I do not apply that knowledge, that's a little faith. I have to learn to apply what I know, what I believe. I have to learn to apply it to my life. Notice in verse 30, he says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? He's talking about God. He's talking about what God does. The focus is upon God. And then the application, therefore. Therefore. Because of who God is. Because of what God does. Therefore. That is, make application of that. It's easy. It's easy to go and tell somebody that's sick. It's easy to tell somebody that's dying to trust the Lord. But then when you're sick, you'd better be able to apply that, or it doesn't do you any good. When it comes time for you to die, you have to be able to apply what you know. And I believe when people go and tell somebody they're having all kinds of problems, you say, brother or sister, you just need to trust the Lord. And they're sincere. And they know that's true. But it's little faith when it's our problem. And we just cannot make the application to our own life. If you have a son or daughter and they discovered they have some disease and it looks like they're going to die, it's going to take more than a little faith. It's going to take a faith where you're able to apply what you know to that given situation. And if you can't do that, that's a little faith. And people will say, well, but, you know, I've never had a problem this big before. That may be so. But don't you see, the problem isn't with the size of the problem. The problem is with the size of our faith, or the lack of our faith. So we have to be able to apply what we know. Little faith also causes one to live as the heathen. He says there in verse 31 that we're not to take thought, not to be anxious, not to worry. And in verse 32, he says, "For after all these things, material things, do the Gentiles or the heathen seek." When we have little faith, we have a great tendency to act just like the heathen, to respond to problems just like the heathen. Now think about the heathen. The heathen have no revelation from God. The heathen have no knowledge of God. The heathen are ignorant of God. And the heathen view life in ignorance. They are ignorant of what is taught by the Word of God. They know nothing of the exceeding great and precious promises of the Lord. They know nothing about these things. And little faith causes us to seek and to act just like the heathen. I've seen lost people respond better to problems than those who profess to be saved. That's a problem. That's always a problem. You see, the heathen are in darkness about life. They have no idea what's going on. And their view of life is entirely limited by their own thoughts, their own reasonings. So are we like the heathen? If the things of this life are first, and if the things of this life monopolize our life and our thinking, are we any different than the lost man? Are we any different than the heathen in that respect? No. Because that's what monopolizes their life. So you see, that's a little faith. And when the things of this life monopolize us, that is evidence that we have little faith. And we're going to start to act like heathen people. Many children of God, if you talk to them about salvation, they have right views. But if you talk to them about living, their views are no different than the world's views. And that's because they have little faith. They're worried about everything, and the things of life control them. Circumstances determine whether they're going to be happy or unhappy today. Well, that's what determines whether a heathen's going to be happy or unhappy, is their circumstances. All through the Bible, it's very evident that circumstances is not what is to determine our happiness. Paul and Silas in jail, bad circumstances, but they rejoiced. And we could go on and on. Paul said in Romans 15, in verse 13, peace and joy in believing. But if circumstances is what determines our mood, if circumstances is what determines whether I'm happy today or sad today, whether or not I'm on the mountaintop or down in the dungeon, down in the valley, if circumstances determine that, where's faith? Where's faith? Well, it's insignificant. That's little faith. Little faith is a problem. When things happen, how do we react? When difficulties about our needs arise, how do we face them? When difficulties in relationships arise, how do I react? How do I react to sorrow? Again, any one of us can get what we would consider to be terrible news. How do we react to sorrow? We are to sorrow. There's nothing wrong with sorrowing. But we're not to sorrow as do others. It's to be different. And the reason it is to be different is because we have faith. How do I react to problems? How do I react to trials? How do I react to sickness? How do I react to death? How do I react to these things? Well, it's faith. that determines that. And people seem, well, you don't understand. So-and-so died. I understand that. But that's not the issue. The issue is we need faith to react properly. Am I brought under the control and mastery of sorrow? Am I brought under the control and mastery of joy? Am I brought under the control and mastery of problems and difficulties? If so, that's evidence of little faith. We need to really examine our faith. Oh, it's much easier to get angry and get upset because the Lord is putting it on us. He's telling us basically the problem is not your problems. The difficulty is not your difficulties. The problem is your lack of faith. O ye of little faith. But you see, it's much easier to believe. It's much easier for you and I to accept. I have these problems because of these problems. I have these difficulties because of these difficulties. If these things didn't happen, I would be so much better off. But don't you see, all through the Word of God, people have experienced difficulties, they've experienced problems, and they've dealt with them in faith. That's our problem. The problem today is a lack of faith. So in closing, is our view of life controlled by circumstances, or does faith control our view of life? Do circumstances determine my reaction? Do circumstances determine my response? Or does faith determine my reaction and my response? Is my reaction and response essentially different from what it would be if I were lost? Think about that. If you weren't saved, would your reactions be different, or are they the same? It should be different. Faith should make all the difference in the world. We need great faith, and we need to place everything in our life, everything that happens to us, and every circumstance that arises, we need to place it in the context of faith. We need to place it in the context of who God is. That's why Paul in Romans chapter 8 talks about our light affliction. He's not making light of affliction. He's putting it in the context of who God is. He's putting it in the context of what God has said. He's putting it in the context of eternity. And he says in that context, it's light. And that's true of all of our problems. That's true of all of our difficulties. And again, I don't mean to make light of anybody's problem. But when you put it in the light of faith, when you put it in the context of who God is, problems aren't so big. Difficulties aren't so big. But when we try to figure it out and leave God out of the picture, they're enormous. And they begin to master and control our life. We need to realize tonight who we are. We need to realize tonight what we are. We're children of God. We've been saved by the grace of God. We believe the Lord. We trusted the Lord to save our soul. We need to trust God to take care of the everyday happenings of our life. Because the truth is, we rise to the level of our faith, or we sink to the level of our faith. That's why the apostles prayed, Lord, increase our faith. And I believe every trial that we experience, every difficulty that we go through, everything that happens to us is to increase our faith. And we need to be constantly growing, constantly believing more. As we get closer to heaven, as we get nearer and nearer to the coming of Christ, our faith ought to be getting stronger and stronger and stronger. In the world in which we live, the last days of the last days, you cannot afford little faith. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it in this life. As a child of God, you're just not going to make it. You're not going to be spiritually productive if your faith is small. You need great faith. And the things that are going on all around us today, little faith isn't going to do. We've got to have great faith. We need faith bigger than all the things that surround us. So I ask you tonight to measure. Take a good, honest look at your faith. And if you're like me, and I'm sure we're all like this to some degree, one moment you have faith that can move mountains. 10 seconds later, it's like it's gone. It's evaporated. Lord, help us that we'll just continue having faith. That we would not just possess a little faith, an insignificant faith, but that we would have a faith that makes a difference in our life. That we would have a faith that makes a difference in the way we react and the way we respond to whatever happens in our life. The Lord would increase our faith. Brother Larry, if you